utterance is greatly affected by the hearer. What does that mean? The sermon, me being able to get out what God wants to say tonight, that's greatly affected by whether you want to hear it or you want to go home right now and do something else. So if you're here tonight and you really don't want to be here, change right now. Change in your heart and say, for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to receive from the Lord. And then you'll get to go do what you got in your heart or in your mind, or eat that big sandwich or that Big Mac, whatever it is. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. I'm so aware there's so many other places that you can be, but you've chosen to chase after God, and that's the best choice in life. Best choice in life. Our ushers are in the aisle right now. If you would like to have a Bible to follow along with, we sure would be happy to let you borrow one of ours, and you can hand it in at the end of the service. We have strawberry and vanilla flavors. We have English and Samoan. And I'll say this too. Bring your Bible with you. I'm not looking around and I'm not doing a Bible check. Bring your Bible with you. This book and the principles in this book has saved my life, has helped me when there was no one else to help me. What I learned, this foundation in my life, it's the reason I'm standing before you today. And I, you can see I've worn it out, but I'm not worn out. It looks like it's falling apart, but I'm not falling apart. Praise the Lord. Well, we're starting a new series tonight, which is wonderful and always great. But you understand, we're gonna springboard right from where we were, and we're going to jump into pretty much a very similar topic, but we're going to take it to another level. But you know, sometimes when you build a brick wall, you lay the foundation, right? And unless there's a foundation, it's not really smart to put a brick or a cinder block right on top of dirt. You should lay a cement pad or foundation, and then you can build on that. And that's the way I like to see how God orchestrates these sessions, even the subjects that we talk about. But you know, you can't lay a brick in midair. You always have to set a brick or a stone or a block onto something else. And so we've just laid a big foundation on how to more than conquer. I believe it was about 13 weeks that we talked about more than conquering. And we said there's a process to that. And you don't want to overlook that. In 1 John, it talks about this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we quote scripture like that a lot, but we really don't know what that means. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, we said, process, the victory process that overcomes the world, even our faith in that Jesus died for me. Oh, yes. And also your faith in what God just told you to do to win. There was a process of men calling on the name of the Lord, women calling on the name of the Lord, and the Lord answering them, and they being able to hear it and understand it and believe it and do it. They got born of God answers that caused the victory to manifest physically on the earth. And if you don't understand that process, it will be difficult for you to receive your victory instructions from God. So when Moses held his rod out over the water, we understand he didn't just make that up. He had cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him immediately. Jeremiah says, call upon the Lord, and I will answer you. 30 years from now when it's too late? No, immediately. I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Moses called upon the Lord. The Lord said, why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water and tell the people to move forward. That was a born of God victory instruction. He was able to hear that It was from God's spirit to his spirit. This is the brick that we've laid. And we're going to lay another brick on top of this one. He functioned spiritually, and it manifested physically on the earth. He functioned spiritually. He received an answer on the inside from the Spirit of God. When he did what God told him to do, it caused a miracle to manifest physically on the earth. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. And we talked about more than conquering. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. We're in a position, because of what Jesus has done, because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that we can win every single battle. We can overcome every situation. We can go through and come out on the other side victorious. Get used to winning, we say. So our new series tonight is called My Constant Source. My Constant Source. Now, he's my constant source of victory. He's my constant source of more than conquering in my life. Now, as we study and as we read about the Bible, do you know God wants you to win? He wants you to win in your own personal life. But he also wants you to get to the place where you can help other people win in their personal lives. I noticed Jesus never really ministered to himself. Did you notice? He was at a level spiritually that the main focus of his life was to help other people. And really, to tell you the end of the story, that's where I'm trying to get you. Yes, I want you to believe you receive things for yourself. Yes, I want you to be able to win your own battles. But really, where we want to get you is to be able to help other people win their battles. So he's been a constant source for my personal life. He's been a constant source for the ministry. But he's also helped me be a source for other people. For other people. John 4 and verse 14. We'll start here tonight. Thank you for your precious written holy word. John 4, verse 14. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto and for eternal life. He's a constant source. He's always there. He's always available. We've learned that by my spirit and his spirit, we can communicate. The spirit of a man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. That counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. And I can draw up answers from God. Praying in the Holy Spirit will draw up answers. You pray out mysteries so they're not mysteries anymore. God's spirit will speak to my spirit. His spirit is constantly bearing witness with my own human spirit. I've learned that I have a human spirit. I've learned to pay attention to my human spirit. Why? Because it is the constant source. It is a constant source. God's spirit inside my spirit is a constant source of life, is a constant source of answers, is a constant source of peace and hope and strength and joy. It is without end. It is a spring of water welling up unto eternal life continually. It is a constant source. Do you know, in my short life, I have been single and I have been married and then I've been horribly widowed and then I've been a single parent and I've had to raise two children by myself on the mission field. One of them, the doctor told me that he was never going to be normal and he was never going to amount to anything. They said he had some kind of autistic issue. I've been widowed. I've been a single parent. I've been a missionary. And then I've been remarried. And in all these different seasons of my life, God was a constant source for me. From his spirit to my spirit. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a helper. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. He's an advocate. All these things in my life when I was single and maybe lonely, and maybe you're lonely and single tonight. Look around. You might find a... If you're married, don't look around. Keep your eyes to yourself. But if you're single, I remember being single, and I remember being lonely, and I remember wondering who's going to be my spouse and what will my life be like. But I also remember he was a constant source when I was single. And he was a peaceful source. And he was a companion. And he would speak to me. And he would help me. He was there for me. And I know he'll be there for you as well. When I was married, that's another phase in life. And things could and would get difficult. Things with money, things with kids, personal things. I've been married. I've been single. And he was a constant source of wisdom for our marriage and our family and our kids. Not splitting the Red Sea today, but what do I do with Willem? What do we do about the money? What do we do about the educations? What do we do to communicate better in our marriages? He was a constant source of help when times were difficult, when we didn't know what to do, when the doctor said there's nothing you can do, when we lost children by miscarriage, when we went through hard times. He was a constant source, a constant source. He was really there for me when I was a devastated widow. As most of you know, Brother Dunnick passed away. It's been 12 years ago now. And it was a very, very difficult 2 years. But there was a peace, and there was a grace, and there was a strength. And then even after he passed, the Lord helped me and showed me some things in my heart. I remember having a dream right after Kelly passed. And I saw the Lord and Kelly standing between heaven and earth. It's the only time I think I've had what I would call like a mini vision. And I saw Kelly and Jesus standing between heaven and earth. And it was they were bartering. Kelly was bargaining with the Lord. And it was a 3-second vision. And I sat straight up in bed. He's been gone about 3 days. And I said, I'm going to be okay. Because I saw that it was almost like, before I go, I need to know they're going to be okay. It was almost like that. And I sat straight up in bed and I thought, I'm going to be okay. That was something that really helped me. That was a source of faith. That was a source of hope. I remember that dream all the time. I remember I saw that in my spirit. It keeps me going. He was there when I was a mom for 2 fatherless children. And one of them was 13 and one of them was 10, a boy and a girl. And I never dreamed that I would be a single parent in my life, especially a single parent on the mission field. He was there and he helped me. And I remember crying myself to sleep at night, but the peace of God overwhelming that and the tears drying. See, he's been a constant source for ministry, but he's also been a constant source personally, where the rubber hits the road, really where you live. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. He was there when I remarried. When I decided, I don't think I want to do this alone anymore. And I asked him if that would be okay. And he said, you know, it'd be easier if you were alone. But if you really want to, I understand. go ahead and get married. I said, I'm getting married. I'm getting married. And Pastor James and I have been married 6 years now. Praise God. 6 years. And he was there in that transition for us, which is a big transition for everyone else, as we tried to find our way to a new future and a new life together through the change, through all the different seasons, being single, being married, being widowed, being a single parent, being remarried. Through all those seasons in my life, he was a constant source, a constant and consistent source. And I can look back and I can see that by still believing in him and trusting in him and looking to him for answers, asking him for help, I've been kept by the power of God. And you have too. Now, describing him as constant doesn't mean that he just does one thing. He constantly loves me. Yeah, he does a lot more than that. He is everything that you need him to be when you need him to be that constantly. A single person might need him one way. A married couple might need him another way. A widow, another way. Fatherless child, another way. Remarried or divorced. He's a constant source for everything you need when you need him to be that constantly. Psalms 52, verse 1 says, "The goodness of God endureth continually." The goodness of God endureth continually. Another version says, "God's faithful love is constant." Psalms 119, verse 98 from the New Living says, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for your commands are my constant guide." Your commands are my constant guide. You know, God's never going to leave you without an answer. If you ask a question, he will give you wisdom. We've been looking at the prayer that Paul prayed for us, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of his calling. God doesn't want us to go without. God wants to talk to you. God wants to answer you. God wants to give you constant counsel. Even over in Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." As Pastor Junior said Sunday morning, all your ways is a lot. All the decisions that you have to make every day, all your ways, that would mean all the time. Yes, all the time. And he's not bothered by you saying, "Lord, what should I do here? What should I do?" It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, ask him, look to him, and he will direct your paths. Psalms 138, verse 2, it says, "I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and faithfulness. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else." So through all these seasons of life, God is a constant source. And I've been kept by the power of God, and so have you. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are," now this is talking about your time here on earth, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times or in the last days. Verse 5 in the Amplified, I believe, it says, who are being guarded, garrisoned by the power of God through your faith till you fully inherit the final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. Kept by the power of God from this time on earth until the time I actually go to heaven or am raptured up. Mom, are we going to be raptured? Yes. We're going to be raptured, she says. What happens in between the time I ask Jesus to be my Lord and I'm translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, but I'm still here on earth? Oh, that, yeah, you've got your inheritance reserved for you. We're all going to receive our new bodies together. It'll be a big human family event. But until then, I'm kept by the power of God. I want to give you a definition of constant. The definition of constant is occurring continuously over a period of time, remaining the same over a period of time. Talking about a person unchangingly faithful and dependable. Talking about a situation that does not change. The only way I can be constant as a human being, as a mom, as a wife, as a person that's a leader here, is if I have a constant source of strength, a constant source of wisdom, a constant source of what do I do now? The only way I can be constant. I don't know about you, but after my cup of coffee in the morning, about 10 o'clock, I'm like, I don't have endless energy and I don't have endless wisdom and I don't have every answer for everything that my kids are going to get into or the way my marriage is going to go. I don't have all the answers, but I have a constant source. It's a well springing up unto a wonderful life, unto eternal life. I have a source of love that is constant. I can love my kids through this source of love on the inside of me. I have a source of wisdom that is constant. God is the source of everything good that is coming out of me to the people around me. He is constant so I can be constant. He is faithful so I can be faithful. He never gives up, so I can never give up. He is always there with a winning plan for me, a victory strategy. He is the source of my life. He is the source of all my victories, of everything that I've been through, the what to do to win, the what to do to receive. We have access by one Spirit to all the answers and all the supply that we will ever need. And we have example after example after example in the Word of God. And I wish we had more examples, but what's written in here, that's it. So we can't make somebody up that's not in here. So we talk about Moses. We talk about Abraham. We talk about that list in Hebrews chapter 11. That's all we got. But it's enough for us to know the same way he came through for them, he's going to come through for us. You know, I'll tell you what. One of the darkest periods in my life when Brother Dunnett got sick and died, I tell you what, I should have come out on the other side of that, a crazy woman, an alcoholic. What's crazy? Palava'a. Crazy woman. Horrible mother, neglect the kids, good for nothing, pity party, no will to live. But I was kept by the power of God, and he was a constant source. And I told you the story. I was laying on the floor crying, and there was a source on the inside of me, his written word. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? But then there was the spoken word, the written word. It's going around on the inside. But then there was a source of hope. There was a source of comfort. There was a source of you can make it. There was a source of don't let death take you down. Stand up. You're winning. Get up, the Lord said. So I turned my head and I said, I'm winning. And I got up. That changed the course of my life. That right there changed the course of my life. Now, from last week, we're learning how Abraham operated in faith and how he operated spiritually, and something manifested physically. Mom, can you come up again? Is the baby here? Romans 4, verse 17, as Mom is coming, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Is he a constant source of dreams come true like this? Yes, if you're believing for a child, keep believing for a child. But also keep believing for specific instructions regarding the general promise that you're standing on. Specific regarding the general promise. Even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. And this is what Abraham did, who against hope, and Sarah, who against hope believed in hope so that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. George, can you come? George is going to be the spirit. I'm going to be the mind. Mom is the physical body. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to Abraham and Sarah and promised them a child. And here in Romans, Paul is retelling the story. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Notice God was a source of telling Abraham, this is going to happen, even though it hasn't happened yet physically. He was the source of faith and hope. The sower sowed the word and said, you're going to have a baby. And that is a spiritual transaction from God's spirit to Abraham and Sarah. And they held on to that promise with their hearts. They believed it and they spoke it. This is what they did. And who against hope believed in hope, because they're looking at their physical bodies. Mom, how old are you?
88 and three quarters.
Mom is 88 and three quarters. So she's just about the age Sarah was when she had Isaac. So this is a good illustration. Thank you, Mom, for being 88 and three quarters. So this is what they're looking at physically. But this is what they're looking at spiritually. That God made a promise. But against hope, looking at this, they believed in hope. They believed what God said. And let me get to my, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Now I want you to pay attention to that, according to that which was spoken. How did this child manifest physically? It was according to that which was spoken spiritually. And it was according to that which was believed spiritually. And it was according to that which was spoken by Abraham and Sarah from their hearts. They believed and they rejoiced. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, even though he looked this way. Yep, I'm old. I'm getting older now. Even though he looked this way, even though they saw this in the mirror, they focused on this. And they believed this more. And they said this. And they rejoiced at this, even though they were seeing this. This is a classic example of how to do something by faith. By faith. Notice it was according to that which was spoken, not according to nothing. And it wasn't according to making it up. It was according to exactly what God personally and specifically said to Abraham and Sarah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken or the anointed word of God. What did they believe? They believed according to what God told them. So shall thy seed be like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. And by operating spiritually, this is a spiritual transaction, by believing God's spirit in their spirit, believing with their hearts and confessing with their mouths, what was seen on the inside only eventually manifested physically. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, showing your spirit. You're going to have a baby someday. Has it happened physically yet? No. But God showing you on the inside, it's just as good as done, because you have his word on it. You fight the good faith fight. You lay hold on this eternal lifestyle. The just shall live this way. God's going to show you something. He's going to speak to your spirit. That's as good as you having it. You're going to fight the good faith fight to hold on to what he's told you on the inside. You're going to believe it. You're going to speak it. You're going to do what he says. You're going to act on the promise. If he tells you to do something, do it. He told Moses to hold his rod out over the water, and he did. And that manifested in the physical. The whole nation was saved. He told Joshua to march around the city, and he did. What if he didn't? Then it would not have manifested physically. What if Moses said, no, I'm not holding my rod out over the water? Then they would have not passed through on dry ground. That would have probably been the end of... What if David heard the Lord say, go up at once, recover all. Your family is alive. Go up at once, chase after them, overtake, recover all. What if he said, no? Come on, there was a source of victory. There was a way up. There was a way through. There was a way to win that he didn't see naturally. The sower sowed the word, and he functioned spiritually. All these people functioned spiritually. But it caused a physical change. Now we would think, in order to change something physically, I've got to operate physically. No, if you want something to change in your life physically, you operate spiritually to change the physical. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, George. Thank you, baby. So how did Abraham and Sarah win? How did they overcome? How did they receive the child promised? Did Abraham just make that up? I'm going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to have more kids than you have. I'm going to have billions of children someday. No, it was according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. What does that mean? I need to be able to hear God when he speaks to me. That's how that child manifested from spirit, a promise in his spirit, from the spirit of God into the physical realm. The spirit will change the physical. Did he just make it up? No, he was believing something that was personally and specifically sourced or spoken to him by God. God is a constant source. God will show you how to win every time. And of course, when God tells you to do something or makes you a promise, it will be in agreement, total agreement with the written word of God. But he'll give you specific instructions on how to harvest, if you will, or receive or take what the general word of God promises you for your life, for you, and for your wife. He received the word of God. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. He held on to that. He believed it. You know, the Lord didn't really tell him to do anything. You know, he told Moses to hold his rod out, Joshua to march around the city, David to go up at once and recover all, but he just told Abraham, you're going to have a kid someday. And so, some of you are laughing. Besides doing what you do to have a kid, too low lava, because it wasn't a virgin birth, right? Too low lava. He rejoiced. He said, thank you, Lord. That was his act of faith. That was his believing. He rejoiced. He staggered not. He grew strong in faith, giving glory unto God. He's faithful who had promised. He staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. He was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him as righteousness. Now, that right there, as we said, is a textbook illustration of a person operating in faith or by faith. Not operating by nothing, because most Christians believe that operating by faith looks something like this. I prayed, and I didn't get an answer. So whatever happens must be God's perfect will. A lot of people think that is operating by faith. But operating by faith is according to the written word and according to what God shows you, his spirit to your spirit personally. Faith is not blind. Faith is not guessing. Faith is not just trying stuff that God has not told you to do on the inside. But the big problem in Christianity is most people believe that God doesn't answer prayer and that you never can hear him. And you pray, you don't expect an answer, you don't expect anything solid, you never expect to hear from God. But then just because you prayed, whatever happens next will be what God wanted to happen. And I don't see that happening in the Bible as a textbook illustration of how God interacted with people. I see Moses getting answered immediately and him being told specifically what to do to win, not just for him, but for everyone. There was a source of victory, and the source was the Spirit of God showing him what to do. I don't see Moses praying and not hearing an answer and then him just trying something. He was told specifically what to do to win. And you've got to see, if we want to start to see more manifestations in the physical realm, number one complaint of Christians in 2020, how come we don't see miracles anymore? How come we don't see healings anymore? How come we don't see great and mighty things? How come we don't see signs and wonders anymore? Well, there's a pattern to how these things were produced on earth. People functioned spiritually and they manifested physically. They were spiritual transactions that came into the physical realm. Now, girls, I don't know. I had a little slide in the flash drive, there was a picture of a tree. Did you guys get that? Now, Jesus said this when he was talking to Nicodemus. He's trying to explain to him how the Spirit moves. And he compared the Spirit to the wind. But you can't see the wind, but you can see what it does. Now, this is a tree. Why is it bending over? Do you guys know why it's bending over? Because of the wind. Can something or a realm, a dimension that you can't see, move a dimension that you can see? Can the spirit realm change or move the physical realm? Yes, we see it all over the Old Testament. And Jesus said the spirit realm and the things of the spirit operate exactly this way. It's like the wind. You don't see it. You don't know where it's coming from, but you can see what it does. And the invisible can change the visible. Everybody comfortable with that? Because we're not talking low level tonight. We're trying to get you to a place where you actually see tumors disappear in front of your eyes, where you hear God say, ask me for big things, and you ask for a ship and it comes in miraculously, where you believe God to buy this building, and this is this year, and you are able to hear his spirit say, if you believe that building is yours, you would take the steps to buy it. That was the baby being handed to me. Oh, I got the building now. If you believe this building is yours, you would take the steps to buy it. The sower sowed the word. Jesus explained this really clearly. This is how the kingdom of God functions. God is going to talk to you. God is going to say things to your heart. And there's four different kinds of hearts on earth in people. There's extremely hard hearts that when God speaks to them, they say, God never talked to me. There's rocky ground that hear God speak to them, but then it's too hard to believe. So they draw back immediately because there's no root within themselves to hold on to what he said. And they don't produce a physical manifestation. They don't produce a harvest. And then there's the weedy ground that God will say something to that person, but they're so involved with other things, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, going after other things, that they never produce a harvest. What do you mean? I mean a physical manifestation of what God just said to you. But there's such a thing as a person that God will say something to, a source of victory, a source of how to do something, how to buy the building, a source of how to bring a tool in for the ministry, a source of how to get the money, a source of what to do with your son, a source of how to fix your marriage. Like we said, we're all different sources. But when God said, if you believe this building is yours, you would take the steps to buy it, boom, his word hit the good ground of my heart, and I believed it. And immediately started to organize the purchase of this building in the natural, and we made an offer, and they accepted it. And as I said, we lost our biggest partner. And then I almost drew back, but I'm still holding on. The building is ours. If you believe this building is yours, you would take the steps to buy it. That means it's mine. It's a spiritual transaction. Then we lost our biggest partner, what I thought we would be able to pay the loan with. And the Lord said, keep moving forward. said, okay, we got the loan with the MPF. We put everything we have up as collateral. We started to sell stuff off in America. And then the day came where it's time, almost time to pay. And I got a supernatural phone call from a person who was led by the Holy Spirit to take up an offering for this building. And he said, I'd like to take up an offering for your building. I said, praise God. And in 4 days, $1.7 million U.S. dollars came into our hands. It manifested in the physical realm. It's too late for me to deny that transactions like this are not happening on earth. It's too late for me because I've seen it. And even I believe that might be one of the biggest offerings on earth that has happened. Have you guys ever heard of a $1.7 million offering in 4 days? Anybody heard of a bigger offering? Like Mom says, God is serious about the South Pacific. Now, how did that manifest? According to that which was spoken to me, His word, take all the steps to buy the building. And I did. I believed it. I obeyed what He said. I positioned myself to receive the building. And the minister called. The money came in. And here's the interesting thing that the minister said. He said, Patty, if you hadn't have had everything lined up to purchase the building, if you didn't have a contract, if you didn't have a loan, if it wasn't all signed, if it wasn't all legal, if you didn't have your lawyer dot all the I's and cross all the T's, he said, this would not be happening. The Lord knows, doesn't He? What was the specific instructions? If you believe that building is yours, take the steps to buy it. Line it up. Act like you're going to buy it. And we did. And He said, if that wasn't in place, this would not be happening. And what was a spiritual instruction that God's Spirit spoke to my spirit, a constant source, how do I get the building, Lord? I don't have the money. I don't have the money to buy this. It manifested in the natural realm. And Pastor Jenny and I wrote the check. And we were like two little schoolgirls. You write it. No, you write it. By faith does not mean by nothing. It means by God specifically showing you how to do something. By His Spirit telling your spirit. And that is how these men operated. We came to Samoa by faith. We didn't just decide to come. We came based on God saying, Samoa me tapu, to Brother Kelly Dunnick. We didn't know what tapu meant, so we just threw it out. But we knew what Samoa me meant. So by faith, according to that which was spoken, not according to not hearing anything, and oh, I just want to be in the ministry, and I think I'll go here. No, it was according to that which was spoken, and all this has manifested since then. I have called you to the South Pacific. If you believe this building is yours, you would take the steps to buy it. The just shall live this way. The just shall live by faith, by conducting transactions this way, from spirit to physical manifestation, from God sowing the word, the sower sows the word, and note, only one person actually sees a physical harvest of what God said. And they receive the harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But you understand, what started as a spiritual transaction moved the physical realm. Can we put that tree up again? So He's a very present help. He's a source. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. The same way Moses won, Joshua won, David won, we win. He is a source of victory on earth by faith. Romans 8:35, we've been through this in the last series, but I want to get specific. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No! None of those things. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, I'm not winning any battles down here, Pastor. Well, there is a victory process, which we've been trying to teach you. It's not a physical victory. Your victory comes by the Spirit of God showing you how to win. The sower sows the word. You hear the word. You believe the word. You do what he says, and it manifests in the physical realm. Let's look at some of these words. Shall tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation is a state or a cause of great trouble or suffering. Anybody had a little tribulation in your life? A cause or a state of great trouble or suffering? Will God get us through that? Can we win over that? Because it's on the list of we more than conqueror in this area. A state of distress. Shall distress? No. Extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. Anybody had any distress? Extreme sorrow, anxiety, or pain. It's also a term for when a ship is in distress. Mayday, mayday, SOS, SOS. We're going down, we're going down. I think Moses sent up the mayday, 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 911. We're about to all die. And I mentioned this last week or the week before. Do you know, Moses already had a general promise from God. He already had, I am come down to deliver my people out of Egypt. And Moses already knows that God's going to bring them into the promised land. He's got that in his heart. He's right in the middle of leading them out of Egypt. And they're backed up to the Red Sea, and now they're about to die. Based on the general promise, Moses knows, oh, no, 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 this can't be how it ends. Based on the general promise. You know, we've got a lot of general promises here. Oh, no, 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 this can't be how it's going to end. But what do I need right now? I need a specific instruction in line with the general promise. I need to know specifically, I know, Lord, that you don't want us to die right now. I know that. Do you all know that? He don't want you to die. He don't want you to have distress. He don't want you to have tribulation. There's a lot of things in here that the answer is yes. And you don't have to wonder if the answer is yes or no. I've heard people say, sometimes God says no. And I thought, to what? He spared not his own son. How shall he not freely give us all things? Doesn't it also say all the promises in him are yes? So, Lord, will you heal my body? Yes or no? Yes. It's already a yes. What do you need? I need a specific instruction on how to harvest it, how to bring it into the natural. Thank you, Lord. Extreme anxiety, sorrow or pain, suffering caused by lack of basic life necessities. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, how did she know about my life? This is the story of my life. A physical state of strain, exhaustion, in particular, breathing difficulty. Have you ever had a panic attack? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, great trouble or sorrow, suffering? Shall distress, extreme anxiety, pain? Shall persecution? What's persecution? Hostility and ill treatment, persistent annoyance, harassment, That's checked off the list. Famine, extreme scarcity of food, a shortage or lack. Let me look at you guys. I'm just seeing if anyone looks like they've had extreme scarcity of food. Not going to say anything. It's just a personal observation. Do you know, when I see a skinny Samoan, I'm like, whoa, what's wrong with them? Where's Epinesa? Is she in here? She's like the world's skinniest Samoan. She turns sideways and she disappears. She wears a size in our uniform shorts that no one has ever worn before. I don't even think they bring in like a size 26 waist shorts even for our kids, right? So famine is extreme scarcity of food or a shortage or a lack. Can God show you how to overcome that? Can God show you how to get food back in the fridge? Because this is the list. Nakedness, without basic clothing, without covering or protection, exposed to harm, unprotected, vulnerable, easy to attack physically or emotionally. Oh, you don't want to be naked emotionally, and you don't want to be naked physically. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is he not going to answer us about that? No, he's going to help us, show us. Peril. Now, this is the definition of what I think Moses was going through. Serious and immediate danger, natural or human, in presentation. So it could be an earthquake, it could be a tsunami, it could be anything like that, natural things, or it could be a human that's come to murder you. It could be human danger, it could be natural danger. And in this case, the entire Egyptian army, the greatest army in all the world, the grand champions of people in the army are coming to kill them. That's peril. That is immediate serious danger. Did God cause them to more than conquer that? Oh my goodness, yes, he did. Or sword, military power, violence, or destruction. So if you're experiencing any of these things, tribulation, great trouble or suffering, distress, extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain, persecution, hostility, and ill treatment, famine, no, that's not us. Nakedness, without basic clothing, covering, no protection, peril, serious or immediate danger, sword, military power, violence, or destruction. If you're in a position where any of this list is about to happen to you or you're experiencing that, there's a way up. There's a constant source of how to get out of this. There's a constant source of how to get over this. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, hypernike, to overwhelmingly conquer. But we understand to function, to win physically in these categories, you function spiritually to win physically. You go inside. You get the answer from God. You do what he says, and it manifests physically. Thank you, Lord. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So these are just some major thoughts. The spirit can move the physical. I want to tell you a story about something that happened in my life personally, and it was years and years ago, and it falls into the category of peril. Remember what peril is? Sudden, immediate danger. Years ago, we were traveling on a superhighway in the United States. It was wintertime, it was snowing, and the roads were very icy. We came up and over a hill, and it was a very long descent all the way down to the bottom. As we came up over the hill, we looked down at the bottom, and there was a 100-car pileup at the bottom of this mountain. As the cars were coming down, they were sliding, they were smashing into the other cars, and it was just a big blob of destroyed cars at the bottom of the mountain. Would you agree that this is a serious and immediate danger? And from the natural standpoint, we're going to crash and we could possibly die. That's what it looks like naturally. So what do I need to do? I need to function spiritually. I need to get an answer. Because even this, what it looks like right now, there's a way out. There's a way through. And so that 100-car pileup, there is no way through naturally. But there, if the word is true, and it's true, he said, we are more than conquerors in all of these things. Sometimes, every time, constant source of victory. There is never going to be a time where he's not going to show you how to win. And so there were other people in the car. I remember one person in particular started screaming, "Oh, Jesus!" That it just put that on repeat over and over again. I don't think I can do that again. I was completely quiet. And Brother Dunick was right here. Now, Brother Dunick operated exactly the way we're talking about. He went on the inside. He heard from God. And with this serious and immediate danger, you need to be in a place spiritually that when God speaks, you can hear him. You need to be the good ground. You need to be connected to the vine. You need to be praying in tongues all the time. You need to be at a place where you need to hear an immediate answer from God's spirit in your spirit. And that's exactly where Brother Dunick was. Kelly operated exactly the way we're talking about. While others were screaming in the car, there was peace on the inside of me. Do you know, I got my husband there. He's the spiritual head of our family. I just deferred to him. I saw you, honey. Our lives are in your hands. And I remember it so vividly. He reached over. He put his hand on me. And he spoke a command of faith. And later he said, "That's what the Lord told me to say. According to that which was spoken." He said, "In Jesus' name, we will go through." That simple. In Jesus' name, we will go through. He saw that, heard that in his heart. He believed it. He spoke it out of his mouth. And then we went into, and I don't know if you've ever been in an accident, we went into super slow motion mode. And for me, the only way that I can explain it, and it was immediately after Brother Dunick spoke, why? Spirit changes physical. It seemed like we were in super slow motion. The spirit took hold. Another dimension kicked in, if you will. There were cars all around us. We reached the bottom of the hill. There was a giant 18-wheeler right here. There were other, we're just surrounded by cars. Plus, the pileup is still in front of us. The 18-wheeler jackknifed right in front of us. That means it was like this, but then it's jackknifed. It split and angled off right in front of us and began to spin. Everything spinned in a circle or spun in a circle. Cars were whirling around. It was like, and that, again, our whole life flashed before our eyes. I could see my whole life from the beginning to the end. but it's not going to be now. There was no way out physically. There was no way not to be crushed physically. There was no physical way of escaping a crash. And suddenly, boom, we were back in real time and we were on the other side of the pileup. Thank you. It was a miracle. The same thing that God did for Moses at the Red Sea, he did for us at the 100-car pileup. It was a spiritual transaction that changed the physical. He's a constant source of things happening like this in your life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." What he says to you in your heart when you ask for help, and of course it's going to line up with the written word, but what specifically he says to your heart, that is the substance that you're standing on. That's what you're holding to. That's the foundation. That's the reason you can believe. It's not nothing. There's substance to faith. He just told me to say, in Jesus' name, we will pass through. We will go through. That's the substance of things hoped for. That's the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Spirit has always made or changed the physical. Everything that you see is made of things which can't be seen. The Spirit created the physical realm, and the Spirit can change the physical realm. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice to God. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was not. He was taken. He pleased God. By faith, Noah, being warned by God, build a big boat, save all the animals. There's a flood coming. By faith, did he just go build the boat because he liked boats? No, according to that which was spoken. And Noah saved the whole world. By faith, Abraham, get out of your country. By faith, Abraham, you're going to have a child. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and manifested physically. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac because he counted God faithful. He said, your seed is going to be in Isaac. He's going to raise him from the dead. General promise. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Joshua compassed Jericho and the walls fell down. By faith, Rahab was the only one who didn't perish. By faith, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets who all through faith. What does that mean? God showed them how to win. He was a source of victory. He was a source of answers. He was a source of harvesting things. The sower sowed the word. They all had good hearts. They received the word. They did what God said. And it manifested physically in their lives. Who through faith, God showed them how. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. That's Daniel. Escaped the edge of the sword. That's David. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Nah. Are you sure, honey? I've got a victory for you. That's the Lord. Are you sure you don't want me to rescue you right now? Nah, I'd rather come see you now, Lord. Some were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He said, build a ship. He built a ship. He said, praise me that you're going to have a child. They praised him that they were going to have a child, and it manifested physically. He said, throw your rod down. By faith, Moses threw his rod down, and it manifested into a snake. He said, hold your rod out over the water, and it saved them. He said, speak to the rock. Well, he kind of messed up there. He hit the rock. But it manifested. God had mercy on the people. He said, throw the tree into the bitter water. He gave them specific instructions in line with the general promises. And it changed the physical. He said, walk around the city and shout. He said, bring big pots, not a few. And a little tiny thing of oil filled all those big pots. They sold the oil for money, and they weren't sold as slaves. They weren't in prison anymore. He said, make me a cake first. This is a spiritual transaction. And then what? And then the flour stayed and the oil stayed, and it fed the widow all those years of famine. He said, pray for it not to rain, and it didn't rain. And he said, pray for it to rain now. And he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Spiritual transactions that start between you and God in your heart that manifest in the physical realm. He said, throw a stick into the water, and the axe head floated. He said, dip in the river 7 times, and he came up clean like a baby. He stopped the mouths of lions. He saved 3 men thrown into a furnace. He made people sit down in groups, and then he fed them with a little boy's lunch. It manifested in the physical. A man touched his cloak. He touched a man's cloak, and this is Jesus. You can touch his cloak and be healed. The woman with the issue of blood, what she believed in her heart manifested physically. The lame walked at the pool of Bethesda. A nobleman's son was healed 20 miles away. His word turned water into wine. People that were maimed were restored. People that had lost limbs were restored. Storms were calmed by his words. Blind saw. The man born blind came seeing. Trees died without words. The deaf hear. Tax money was collected from a fish's mouth. An ear was regenerated in the garden. There were physical manifestations. There were physical manifestations. There were physical manifestations. The shadow of Peter healed the sick in the streets. Aprons and cloths were brought from the body of Paul, and it healed the sick and delivered them that were bound. A man who fell out of a window was taken up dead, but then raised back to life. How were these things done? By faith. By God showing them specifically how to harvest what was needed in the physical realm. It started as a spiritual transaction. And that right there is your constant source of victory. Look down at your wrist. It's one of the things that he said to me. And I watched a tumor disappear right in front of my eyes. 1.7 million U.S. came in 4 days. Your heart, your spirit, is the arena where the supernatural begins. The sower will sow the word there. Your heart will believe it, grow it. Put the sickle in, do what he said, and it will manifest in the physical. God is a constant source of every answer that you will ever need. As we close tonight, Proverbs 4 and 23, it says, guard your heart, this part of you, with all diligence. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of your life, the issues of life. As the praise and worship team comes, why don't we stand? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you're showing us how the kingdom of heaven works. Spirit changes physical. By faith, by God showing you how to win, by God making a promise to you, that's going to be your constant source of healing, your constant source of strength, your constant source of winning. If you're here tonight in the building, know the Lord wants to heal people tonight. And we don't want to take a lot more of your time. But if you came tonight specifically and you said in your heart, if they minister to the sick, I'm going to go up. If that's you, why don't you make your way up here as the praise and worship team plays. Thank you, Lord. All my life, you have been faithful. Tumors of any kind, growths of any kind, sickness and disease of any kind. God wants to show up in your life by faith, by believing. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, guys, and sing. Thank you, Father.
Be well. Be healed.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we understand that what we're talking about, haven't heard the words put like this before, but we know that you're trying to get us to a place where we can reap the harvest the same way Jesus did while he was here, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with signs and wonders following, the Lord working with us, confirming the word. And Lord, you're bringing us there. Thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you for direct revelation further in perfect line with your word to bring us to the highest place possible of serving you and building your kingdom on earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. God bless you. Pastor Jenny is going to come with some announcements, and then after that, you can be dismissed. Praise.